The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're going to have a best of stinger eventually on the Paracast. We have Greg Bishop as our guest co-host with Erica Lukes. And I'll remind you before we go on that we actually have a second radio show that we offer called After the Paracast to people who are subscribers to the Paracast Plus. We offer an enhanced version of this show without the network ads, better quality audio. We have a few show transcripts starting to offer videos. And we're going to offer, I have it already, I haven't had a chance to put it up, segments of this book that Chris O'Brien did with Ray Stanford. Never before published. You'll see it first. To find out more about the Paracast Plus, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. I was talking to Erica Lukes about her experiences in 2013. Let's really delve into it in this segment. Erica?
So in 2013, it was a beautiful summer. It was July, and I was entertaining a lot, and I have an incredible view of the Salt Lake Valley. I am situated kind of up the east side of the valley, and I could look over and see the Salt Lake International Airport, all these spots. And so we would sit out and just look at everything, look at the airplanes going by, have fun. And there was a particular night when my friends were over and we noticed there were orange lights in the sky, and it kind of struck us as odd because, you know, you can tell when there's that artificial light of an aircraft. You can tell because, you know, I mean, it looks different than what we were seeing. And as we noticed this object, there was a smaller one that appeared to drop out of the larger object and then move in a circle around the larger object. We were obviously pretty stunned and intrigued. So I began for a couple months, well, probably longer than that, just every night setting up my video camera on the porch and noticed that these objects would come with regularity. One night I was looking out over by the Ochre Mountains and saw one of these orange objects coming up from in front of the mountain, that appeared to be the base of the mountain, coming up and hovering in one place for upwards of 5 minutes and then moving in a line headed north. And then another object came up, stopped in the same place, moved in the same line, and then another object. So it was very intriguing to me. And I wanted to know, first of all, what this was, because it was intriguing. But then I also understood the fact that whatever these things are, they're in the flight path for the international airport. We live very close to Dugway Proving Ground, and I believe that we need to pay attention to things for multiple reasons. So I started calling people. You know, I mean, I called Hill Air Force Base. I called Dugway Proving Ground. You know, anybody I could think of. I looked through YouTube videos, tried to look through case reports. I just wanted to know whether other people were seeing this and what it was. That took me to Peter Davenport, and Peter was incredible to me, and he still is. And I filed some reports with him, and then I found MUFON and realized that we didn't have any, so to speak, a very large presence here in Utah. I became a field investigator and then eventually state director. It was just a crazy time. I mean, I still to this day do not know what it is that I saw, and I know that, you know, this is something that's happening globally.
Yeah, so anything, was it like a set time that this was going on, or has it continued in any way?
I have not seen. I mean, I've seen a few things in that same area. Now I've had some interesting sightings, or I've heard of cases that are on the opposite side of the valley. And so, you know, I'm kind of expanding. I'm looking, trying to, I've got a group of people that I can text on a dime and say, okay, get your equipment out there. Let's figure out, you know, try to get some evidence, some photos, video evidence, figure stuff out. It seems to move around. But when we were seeing this in 2013, it was, the time was about dusk to about, till about 11 o'clock at night. And it would happen within that time frame.
Hmm. That's interesting. It was only in that time frame. Did you stay up later to find out if it happened after that?
I tried to stay up as late as I could, but unfortunately my days as a musician kind of wore off. You know, it's like, oh. So I
really? I thought musicians stayed up till 4 in the morning all the time.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, I don't know what happened, but I've turned into Grandma Moses. It's just really frightful.
Did anything else happen around the time? Because you were talking earlier, and I kind of wanted to pursue that, about various other things that happened, paranormal events, whatever psychic events that happened around UFO witnesses. Did that happen to you at all, or anybody you knew?
I did have a series of interesting events. I think my whole, you know, I've had strange events like that my whole life, but there were, you know, strange electrical things taking place. Oh, my gosh, and I'm going to have to look, I'll have to think back. We did have, there's always been stuff like that. So, it was a very interesting time for me. And I think that just seeing that opened my eyes to so many other things.
When you do your research and MUFON does research, do they address these paranormal things, or do they log them somehow into the database, or is it considered something separate and people people won't deal with it?
Typically, MUFON doesn't investigate the paranormal. And for me, having talked to multiple witnesses over the time I've been doing this, I believe you have to look at all of it.
Because
we don't know. You know, we don't understand where one thing takes over and the other one, you know, leaves off. It's just we as people that are trying to scientifically research something, we have to look at every piece of evidence we have.
Now, I've expressed this opinion, and maybe it follows from what you're saying, too, that one of the problems in UFO research is that we have tunnel vision. And as you say, MUFON is not concentrating on these side events, but right now, can we even define what a UAP or UFO event is if we don't include them as possibilities, these other issues?
Yeah, I don't believe that we can. I think that we need to stop separating it. And when I would have conversations with people when I was state director about why we were excluding things like this, it was people had the idea that mainstream scientists wouldn't take us seriously if we were talking about the paranormal. And my thought was, I don't know if they ever will take us seriously. We're talking about UFOs.
Yeah, exactly. Why should you care whether mainstream science takes you seriously or not? Because it doesn't really matter. That's just holding you back, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's kind of more of an ego-driven thing. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like the disclosure thing to me. You're looking for approval from people that you don't agree with, don't believe in, and who don't agree with you. So why bother?
You know, I think that's the thing that I just kind of stood by with my mouth hanging open half the time to watch some of these debates on Facebook pages from researchers and different people that it was – oh my gosh, it was just, think of how much time we waste trying to debunk things, trying to, you know, prove that you're right and do the chest pounding, you know, and, you know, I don't get it. It's not needed. It doesn't accomplish anything. And I don't need to prove, you know, to anybody that there's merit in what I'm saying, let alone, I mean, it would be wonderful. And hopefully at some point in time, the mainstream scientific community will realize that, yeah, it's happening and they better save face and jump on board. But it's not my main goal in life to convince them. I don't need to do that. I'll collect research on my own.
We have more to talk about with Erica Loops. Our co-host is Greg Bishop. Chris O'Brien is kind of under the weather this week after having a walkabout, a trip to California last week. I lied about it earlier. With Gene and Greg, you're in
the Paracast. I can't sing it.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, I'll leave that completely with the laughter. We have Erica Lukes, who's a good sport because we're driving her nuts, and Greg Bishop. We have a few questions from listeners that we'll get to as we continue. Now, the dream is that mainstream science will latch on to UFOs. And that's a dream that's been going on since the 50s. Hasn't happened except for scattered groups of scientists or individuals, outliers as you were. But if we're going to look at UFOs as a more expansive mystery, not just the things seen in the sky or occasionally landing or seen at close range, but other weird things going on, do you think anyone in science is going to look at that?
I think that science has always been slow to change, and I think that they will, but I don't necessarily, you know, I don't have time to wait around for that. I don't think we have time to wait around for that. I do believe that when you get outside of the United States, you have a much more liberal viewpoint of this, and you also have other governments that are looking into this and wanting to research it. I always look at somebody for me who I think is incredibly important in this field is Erling Strand over at Hechtstallen. And to see such a really hardcore scientist who was, he and his team have collected 30 years of data. I mean, this is hard scientific data. So he's been relentless in doing this, and they've opened a lot of eyes. And I think this is great. I believe that he's also been very careful about the way he disseminates information, knowing that the scientific community perhaps is looking at things from a very skeptical point of view. But it's working with people like Erling and other researchers, maybe on a global level, that we can really make good change.
Well, right now, when you talk to mainstream news sources, for the most part, except for a few of the exceptions, when you express an interest in UAP, UFO, or whatever, you are an ET believer. Inevitably, you're an ET believer. It's ET. ET. ET.
Yeah, I'm pretty sick of the mainstream media with regards to that. I mean, I'm sure you feel the same way. It makes me really angry at the fact that they're so belittling of something, and they go straight to that ET phone home kind of nonsense, and it's just that needs to stop. And I think people in mainstream media need to understand that this is a very real thing, and it deserves respect, and the people that come forward deserve respect, because it takes a lot of guts.
So maybe science is picking up on it, but what can an organization like MUFON do to change the way things are happening? Again, I keep saying they started in 1969. It's 2016. And when you go to the site, you don't see a change, really, in the way they're focused.
You know, I hope that will change. I do believe that the executive director of MUFON, Jan Harzan, he understands that and is trying to work on things. I do believe personally that for me and for other people, that was frustrating because we do have, I mean, with 40 years of cases, we need to know what, where put those cases together. Let us all see the research that has been done. I would like that. I think that's important. I know that Robert Powell and the Scientific Review Board, like I was saying earlier, they have the top 10 cases of the year that come out, and that's great. I'm hoping that my latest case will be in the top 10 because it was such a fascinating case, but we'll see. I am planning on with my group here. I'm really hoping, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed, that we can make good contributions and we will share our research with people.
Let's talk more about the Utah UFO Research Project. How did you first begin to get connected with this organization? Are you the founder?
I am. You know, when I resigned as state director from MUFON, I wanted to have some sort of support system for my organization here. And so I reached out to Butch. And he's with the UFO Research Center back east, and I wanted to just have...
Who is that again you reached out to?
It's Butch Wachowski.
Oh, stop. All right. You've heard about the problems with Butch.
I have. There's so many problems with everybody in this field, and I don't know. He's been incredible to me.
Right, but the problem is here is that there are allegations that he has not satisfactorily refuted, that a lot of his credentials are fake.
You know, I've heard that, and I don't, that's not, I think that there are so many allegations of so many people in this field that I don't know necessarily, I don't care, because what I want to do is establish an organization. If I get help from that team, that's great. There are many other people that work with him and with the organization and MUFON too, that can be of assistance to me and what we're doing here. And that's great. So I got so fed up with the kind of drama with regards to that. Who's saying who about who and who, do you know what I mean? That I don't care.
Right. But what if those allegations are true?
Well, that is great, and maybe they are, but it doesn't affect what I'm doing here. So, if that makes sense. Because it's not my investigations are my investigations. They're part of my team. My team does the work. The work stays with my team, and we have complete control over what happens.
Now, you were once a state director of MUFON.
Yes.
You're not any longer. Why?
For me, it was a series of things. I felt that I wasn't necessarily being supported in the way that I needed to be. We had a pretty big case that came out, and I was hoping, you know, some things happened, and I really, I made the decision that I was dealing with too much negativity, and it wasn't productive for me or what I was trying to do. And I really sat back, and it was a hard decision for me because I'd worked my butt off to establish a chapter, to move Utah out to an international spotlight so it was getting attention that it deserved. But I finally said, I have better ways to serve this community, and it's not this. So it was a hard thing.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did that, because a while ago I gave a talk that was not very well received, where I said that very small groups should break off and do their own research, and then present it to the, you know, to the greater community and see what they can do with it. Can you reproduce this? Is this useful? But to not do it under a large umbrella where you're being directed by people to do certain things. Do you see that as something important going forward in the future, to have these smaller groups doing their own research?
Erica, let's have that answer in our next segment.
Okay.
All right. We have Greg Bishop as our guest co-host. Chris O'Brien's under the weather this week. Our guest is Erica Lukes. With Gene and Greg, you're in.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. You're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu. I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Little Rock, Arkansas, Saturday, May 14th, 1 p.m. Go to www.cdocinarkansas.com. That's cdocinarkansas.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors, not available in all states.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, there it is, calling Mr. Roboto.
I won't give you the ocarina again. That was just that one show.
Well, there are strange creatures who will reach their hands from the display of your computer and grab you by the neck if you did.
That's awesome. Oh, my God, I love it.
Okay, as we descend into irrelevance here, Greg, you asked a question of Erica. Erica, your response?
Okay, you have to ask me the question again.
What I was asking was that you just said that you had broken off from MUFON because you had to do you felt like that you needed to do your own work. And I was saying, do you think this is good for the future of the subject to have small groups breaking off and doing their own research, doing good research, and then coming back with it to the greater community and saying, you know, what do you think of this and how valuable is it and can you reproduce it?
For me, I think that, you know, and I have to say that I am still technically a field investigator for MUFON, and so, but I'm just stepping back and doing my own thing. I think that when you have smaller groups, I think that we need to establish one community. I really feel that. And I feel that we need to, like I was saying, we need to have specific protocols for investigations, and we need to be able to share that. So I do worry that smaller groups will tend to isolate themselves more and not do that, and I don't think that helps anything. So at some point in time, I hope we can have a cohesive unit. And for me, when I'm doing, you know, any of my research here, I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I'm not talking to somebody from all over the world, trying to share right. information, trying to learn things, trying to create a community, because I know that that's what we need to do.
It just seems that whenever these communities get together, people get so what's the word? They get territorial about their stuff, and that seems to break them apart. So for myself, I don't even know what the answer is, except for that the good research will rise to the top, and the people that are going to fight are going to fight. I mean, I don't know the answer either. You know, what form could that take where you would have some sort of an organization that's cohesive, that doesn't start to break apart like that? I think it's the nature of organizations to do that, almost.
I think it is. And I think especially when you have a larger organization, and, you know, especially when you have people that are volunteering their time and they're committing resources, and it's just a hard thing to run a non-for-profit organization. It's a hard thing to manage people, as we all know. I do think, though, that it's important, and we have to just stop looking at this as this is mine. You know, I'm the researcher here, and I need all the credit for it. No, this is us. This is all of us doing this together, because somebody's going to have a different perspective that will turn a light on and then connect the pieces of the puzzle, and that's vital. And I do feel that there is an awful lot of ego in this field and in the scientific community, and I think that we have to rise above that to make great contributions.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that leads into one of the questions from the forum from Dave M., if I can ask it. It's a three-part question, but the relevant part, and Dave, I'll ask the other part. He asked that, as a member and director of MUFON, do you feel that researchers should be paid to investigate rather than just being volunteers?
Well, I would certainly like that, because I would be making a lot of money. Lord almighty. You know, I mean, I think that would be great. I don't foresee that happening anytime soon. I think that it's hard enough for mainstream scientists to get funding for things. But it would certainly be nice, because we work really hard.
Mm-hmm. The other part of his question was, your website mentions the Skinwalker Ranch. Have you personally been on the property? And if so, what can you tell us about your trip?
So I've been on the periphery of Skinwalker Ranch, and since it's private property, and, you know, we've got the security guards going on around there. I mean, I would never trespass, as intriguing as it might be. But, you know, I do have ongoing investigations up in that area. The whole area, not just Skinwalker Ranch, is an active location. I think that that's something that it's been going on for hundreds of years. This isn't anything new. I do find the fact that you have so many different types of phenomena in this area intriguing. I believe that what is there is not necessarily a good thing. That is my belief. You know, it's just after looking at what has happened to all of the cattle ranchers in the area, people have been terrorized, and not just the Shermans. But, wow, what a crazy place.
Nice.
Yeah, do you think that they've increased since those people have been there and the research has been going on there, or is it basically just as crazy as it ever was? What I'm getting at really is, do you think that the researchers have affected the area in some way to change what was going on?
I wouldn't believe so. I don't think this, whatever is taking place there necessarily cares about the researchers there. I think it's, you know, it's just going to do its own thing and play around with people. And yeah, there is an interaction. I mean, it's trickster, you know, they'll play with people. But I definitely, you know, I talked to George Knapp a few months ago, and he feels that whatever's happened at Skinwalker Ranch, that the major activity has kind of died off. I don't know if that is the case. He's always been very helpful to me, so I would think so. But I think that, you know, you're finding that there are other areas where you're seeing perhaps increases in what's taking place. I mean, I still get reports of cattle mutilations, strange balls of light, strange creatures, increased military presence. So it's lots of good stuff going on up there.
All right. This is from Spectre 73. Erica, are you aware of any solid UFO cases that originate from China or India? With so many people in these countries, shouldn't there be more sightings? Or is it a case of no one to report to, or that their culture view any sightings in a completely different context?
Wow. That's a beautifully put question. You know, I try to focus on what's taking place in Utah and specific hotspots around the world with regards to the orb phenomenon. When I see cases, I don't really delve into them to see if there are credible cases in China and India. I do think that it is fascinating, you know, when you look at just some of the cultural aspects of things, how cultures have always known that these things were taking place. You know, in India, I believe, you know, in Australia, indigenous people understood that there was something taking place and they had different terminology for it. And it's cool. The whole thing's cool. But if you've got any good cases from China and India, I would love to hear about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a base of researchers in China, but not too much of their research gets out. India, I'm not sure. I haven't heard too much from India.
We really need organizations in these countries. We definitely need, to my knowledge, I don't know if we have if there's a big presence in India where people feel like they could go report sightings.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, MUFON will address that, or some of the larger organizations can do that and get chapters in areas so people can report.
Yeah, they just have to have somewhere to go where the stuff isn't going to be just thrown down a well and nobody's ever going to see it publicly. I will continue with those questions in a minute. I was going to ask about the database question because that's been a bugaboo of mine for a while.
You'll ask that question in our next segment. These are my orders. You shall obey. 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 This is not a recording. We have Erica Lukes. Chris O'Brien's under the weather. So we have Greg Bishop joining us again as guest co-host. You're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims, we just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
When I was 16 and a half years of age, I had two large mercury fillings put into my teeth. I got very sick that day, and over time, the mercury exposure damaged my body. My sunny disposition turned to depression and low energy. Many years later, I understood what had happened, and in 1991, I replaced these mercury fillings with white composite. In 1997, I learned that the homeopathic mercury detox I did years earlier did not remove the mercury from my body. I began an effective means of removing mercury from my body. My digestion and elimination returned to normal, and I began to have my life back. From 1999 to 2005, I tested the level of mercury in my body, and each test showed my mercury burden was high. After 5 years on One World Way, I recently did another mercury test. The results showed my body is free of mercury and virtually all toxic metals. One World Way is very powerful for detoxification support. It has helped many, and it may help you. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorldWHEY.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
He's suffering from the creeping rot, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't want to bring that up because that is a strange disease that the Centers for Disease Control are trying to pretend does not exist, and we know better. Right, Greg?
It's a Paracast virus.
Oh, is that it?
It sounds very, very, you know, traumatic, whatever you're going through.
Let me start an internet rumor. Is there any truth to the claim that the Paracast virus hacked Hillary Clinton's private email server? See? We're just hearing crickets.
Yep, you'll have to ask the FBI. And they're not going to tell you.
It's as if they even know, right? I mean, so many government servers have been hacked. Who knows?
Yeah, if you work for the government, that was a big worry a couple of years ago. Apparently China hacked in and got a whole bunch of information on government employees.
But they never get information about UFOs. Why?
If they do, they probably keep it to themselves. And also because they probably realize when they get the information that it's everything UFO researchers are looking at anyway. It's just a lot more of it. That's all.
That's always strange, isn't it? We never see an actual smoking gun or very significant revelation. It's just another sighting.
Yeah, well, I think that's all they have. I mean, I don't know what Erica thinks, but I think what the disclosure is trying to get is what they're going to get is more sightings and more analysis and not we know this and we know that. It's more like we don't know and we don't really know what to do with it. And yeah. I think that's what's being kept secret, not that there's aliens here or whatever, but leaving that almost aside. The disclosure is there. Basically, they're saying we will not accept any information unless it agrees with what our preconception is. And if you tell us it's something that we don't think it is, then it's a cover-up. It's like asking somebody that lies to you all the time to tell you the truth and not believing them unless they tell you what you want to hear. So that's that. There's my rant on disclosure. However, we were talking about databases. Or I was talking about it. Erica, do you think that there's any possible way to get every database, all the different ones, you know, together, and also, you know, what can be done with it afterwards. I think, you know, some kind of analysis can be done that hasn't been done before in a way that we haven't been able to reveal patterns that have, you know, not been noticed before. What do you think about the database problem?
Oh, boy. You know, I know that when we were going through the MUFON database from the Orange Orb Research Project, it was challenging because we had people that were either dismissing cases, even though these objects were clearly moving against the wind and were not behaving like certain man-made objects. So it's not only getting access to the data, it's having good data in there to begin with. And so I think we've got a lot of different things we need to look at. We need to look at educating people that are investigating this better. We need to make sure that people are investigating this without imposing their belief systems into investigations, which is easy to happen. I mean, I think we're all guilty of that, but it needs to be. It needs to be cohesive. We need to have, we can make the connections. You know, I think that's what we have to strive for. I mean, we found numerous places all over the world where there were repeated types of sightings taking place. And so for me, what my goal is with my team is to take all of the sightings clusters and then layer the maps to try to figure out whether you've got areas where if the gravitational anomalies, are there mines that have specific things, gold, copper, what's taking place with the body of water, what Native American reservations are in this specific area, especially here in the United States. There are patterns, and we have to identify those patterns.
Weather, time of year, what else? All kinds of things. These factors that nobody really takes into account, I think. And not because something, you know, they would see something because there's clouds or there would be, you know, the weather would affect the sighting. But if there's a pattern globally, maybe, you know, dealing with some kind of population, or is it rural, or is it more educated or less educated and all that, I think there's a lot of little data points that may be significant that people have been ignoring because they keep an eye on one thing. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And I also know that it's very time prohibiting. It takes a big commitment financially. Yeah. And just to go in and start analyzing stuff. But I think that needs to be a priority. I think people need to be put in place that can specifically analyze data and then release the findings.
Mm-hmm.
So, investigators can work with that.
Yeah, you would hope. There's still the ego thing, too. I was asked on a show the other day, you know, what do you think is important about this? And I said, I noticed that when I get emotional about a response, I know there must be something wrong with my opinion because I'm being emotional about it. Do you agree with that? Because as soon as you get emotional, it means you're trying to defend something, which means you're not totally comfortable with it.
I think that's a brilliant point. Absolutely. But I do think that this is such a, you know, I can understand people getting emotional. I mean, we're fallible, and that's, when we're passionate about something, there are a lot of emotions that come into play, which is hard. But when you step aside and step back and just analyze data, then you can separate yourself from the emotional aspect of it.
Hopefully. I got more questions, a couple more questions from the listeners, if we can go on with those.
Absolutely, Greg, but let me tell you how these questions magically appear. We have the official PowerCast forums at forum.thepowercast.com. That's forum.thepowercast.com. And all you have to do, neighbors, is to look for the question bank in the forum. And each week when we have enough warning about a guest, we post a topic or a thread there. So you just have to ask your question. And we'll try to get to it during the course of the show. Sometimes we get more questions that we can handle, but we do our best. Go ahead, please.
One of the listeners is on the forums. His name, Ufology. Great handle. Looking at the American Airlines 434 case, which I haven't heard of, are you of the opinion that the big orange square the pilot requested info on was not simply Nephi, Utah, as indicated in the audio? And if not, what evidence is there that the pilot was asking for info was actually a UFO or, for that matter, any type of UAP?
The case that he's referring to is a case that I became aware of. I have a friend who is a ham radio operator, and he overheard a transmission after midnight, and the transmission was so strange to him. He'd been, you know, scanning ham frequencies for 20 plus years, was proficient at it, and there was a transmission that he overheard where the airline didn't announce themselves, which is really unusual, but then there was an exchange between the pilot and the Salt Lake Approach Tower asking if they had the object on radar. Then there was another conversation which we did obtain through the ATC website and later a FOIA request where the pilot says, you know, do you have this object or, you know, can he talks about this large orange square, and then he has another bit where, you know, he says, what is the closest town? And the controller says, oh, that's Nephi, Utah. So I don't believe that the pilot was seeing Nephi, Utah. He had been watching this object, as stated on the audio, for quite some time. He is, in all likelihood, somebody that has flown this route before and is used to seeing what cities look like. Nephi is not that big of a town. I believe that he was seeing something truly anomalous. And we have the radar returns to back it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's one more question. It's kind of a long one. I think I'm going to try and cut it down a little bit from Eric the Red, and it's about abduction research.
Let's put that in the next segment.
Okay.
This way you can take your time with the question. Before we take any more of your time, let me tell you that we'd like you to check out the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. That's where you can subscribe to our premium service, get the After the Paracast podcast, an enhanced version of this show, and many, many more features. Did I say many more? Yes, I did. We have Erica Lukes with our guest co-host, Greg Bishop. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
How would you like to make 17% on your money in only 90 days?
That's right. Gold owners made 17% in only 3 months, as gold had its best quarterly gain in 30 years. Gold is on the move, and you need to get government-issued, legal tender gold coins starting at only $139 each. The U.S. Money Reserve, one of the largest gold distributors in the country, announces the first ever at-cost gold release on this station for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Official U.S. government issued legal tender solid gold coins at cost for only $139 each. Call 1-866-944-GOLD. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book all about gold. Remember, gold is on the move, up 17%. Call 1-866-944-GOLD.